Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Usually it is a Friday when we're coming at you, but I've decided to add one more slot in the calendar for bringing you guys guests, and it's a Wednesday. So now either you're going to be talking to me on a Wednesday or a Friday, and today is a Wednesday. It is a beautiful one here in Tacoma. It's nice and sunny out there. I don't know how warm it is, probably 50 because it feels cold. Hope you guys are having a good morning, and today's going to be a good day because we have Craig McGruther with us on the show. Craig is the Director of Business Development at Lone Star Capital, which has over $350 million of multifamily real estate in their portfolio. So it's going to be a good show. I'm sure Craig has a lot to share with us. Craig, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Gabe. Appreciate being here, speaking with your audience, and looking forward to talking a little bit of shop. Quick correction, though, we have sized up the portfolio a little bit larger now. So now we're about a $500 million plus in assets under management, but that's due to a couple of large acquisitions over the turbulent markets we've seen in the last couple of years.
So you guys bought $150 million of real estate since you requested to be on the podcast. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
right on, man. Well, I told you before we got on this, we like to start with stories and we like to hear how people got into real estate. So why don't you take us back to the beginning of your story and tell us how you got in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, kind of funny. I came out of the womb for whatever reason wanting to sell homes. So when I was a child, exactly right, precisely. Yeah, kind of bizarre. You know, some people want to be doctors, I suppose, astronauts, as they say. Maybe they want to be professional athletes. Like, I just wanted to sell houses. I don't know why. Kind of bizarre. But I was growing up watching SportsCenter and HGTV flipping shows. So, kind of interesting end of the spectrum. I've always kind of liked that. I wanted to sell houses, but you know, the business is a little bit isolated. The business is, you know, really, really solid one. But I think with all the changes and AR change with, you know, commissions and stuff is changing. There's just a big evolution.
And actually, I'm going to pause your story and I apologize for this, but I have been wanting to talk to somebody about that because I've seen the news headlines, all the drama around that NAR thing. What is the deal? Like, I'm not a realtor. I don't sell houses. What's the issue and why is everybody all up in arms about it?
Yeah, well, to me, frankly, there shouldn't be an issue, to be frank, because, you know, ultimately,
first, what has actually changed? Like, what was the change that was made?
Yeah, so essentially, there was a lawsuit, and the crux of the matter, to my knowledge and understanding, is that the sellers don't feel it makes sense to be paying a buyer's agent a commission because the buyer's agent and the buyer are doing everything they can under the sun to lower the purchase price on the house. So sellers feel like it's not lawful or ethical or legal or shouldn't be the seller's obligation to be paying a buyer's agent a commission to purchase a home. So if you buy a house, there's, let's say, a 5% fee, which is pretty standard now. There's this misnomer that everywhere is charging 6%. You know, if you're in Washington, which you are, you know, in the Seattle area, very few people are selling their multi-million dollar homes for 6%, 3.3, right? Oh, not realistic. Not at
all. I but sold it's one recently and I sold it for 1.5%. It's like,
so you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's probably more realistically around 4%, 4.5%, 5, right? So let's call it 4 to 5% is really more standard. But I guess there's this misnomer out there that, you know, people are forced to be able to pay 6%. So, but that's just silly to start with because we all know that, you know, frankly, you know, everything is negotiable. Someone will always do it for cheaper, right? That's kind of the way it is. But essentially, the lawsuit was, you know, a payment to pay some home sellers who feel like they got the raw end of a deal. So essentially, moving forward, I don't know if a seller, and this is all new, but there's gonna be changes coming in July. And if you're seeing MLSs currently, you're gonna start seeing, you know, no fees there, or, you know, the buyer has to pay, you know, their buyer's agent a fee, which may, you know, eliminate a substantial amount of, you know, annual fees going to agents. But it is kind of unfortunate because I do think buyer's agents actually do a lot more work than a lot of sellers agents, because buyers have to run around, show the property, open this up with no certainty of close, as opposed to a seller's agent. You know, you can scale that side of the business better. You know, people come to you, you're facilitating questions and whatnot. But essentially July is going to be the change where I don't believe sellers are having to pay. Although I do think some sellers will want to pay, but legally they may not be allowed to anymore. So essentially there is just a setup where, you know, they are not allowed to pay that side, and you know, buyers agents will having to be compensated by buyers. So it will change the business a lot, and I do think there's gonna be a lot of unintended consequences. So let's say if you're a first time home buyer, might be putting 5% down. Well, to now pay, you know, a really good agent, which you need to have if you're a buyer, to negotiate to represent you, you know, that's gonna be a big cost now out of their pocket to buy a house. So I think there's a lot of actually unfortunate unintended consequences associated here. You know, really sophisticated wealthy people, this is not gonna affect them, but it's really more of the entry level to middle tier folks who are gonna get squeezed and kind of less service. And the sad thing is that a lot of homes now will be double ended, meaning seller represent both buyer and seller. Good and bad news, right? Good news if you're a listing agent, but bad news if you are a buyer. Because who does the seller have a fiduciary response, or the seller's agent have a fiduciary responsibility to? Well, the seller, right? So there's gonna be a lot of people who are unhappy by that and who will feel misled. So I think this will open up a larger can of worms of lawsuits in the future. Who knows? But that was also one of the reasons kind of why I want to transition out of that business into the multifamily space, which is where I've been for 2 years.
Perfect segue. That was interesting. Exactly. I did not know. I heard all the crazy articles that were out there, people up in arms about the change, but I think it kind of makes sense. I'm on the commercial side, and I don't often buy through brokers, and when I do buy something, it's through somebody who's wholesaling, and in that situation the buyer pays the fee anyways, and so it makes sense to me. But yeah, I see why it would be kind of at a disadvantage for people who are just buying their home. But yeah, let's go back to your story. That was an interesting segue. So you got started in as an agent. You went down that route, and recently you transitioned to multifamily. Tell us about that transition.
Yeah. So about 2 years ago, I started and I joined Lone Star Capital, and essentially, you know, wanted to sell homes, kind of fulfilled that dream there, but kind of realized that you're a little bit isolated. You're on an island. It's kind of tough to be in that space. You know, you're kind of just a commodity, which is totally fine, but it really did teach me a lot about relationship building, sales, how to, you know, navigate, you know, longer term sales cycle, and things of that nature, which transitioned perfectly into the role I am right now, which is the director of business development with Lone Star Capital, where we buy multifamily real estate, buy it, fix it, sell it. You know, we're raising capital and whatnot, long sales cycle as well. So, you know, it was a really nice soft landing into the business and transition. You know, I kind of say multifamily and single family are kind of like, you know, they're Latin based languages, right? If you want to kind of compare it like that. Multifamily is Spanish, you know, and residential real estate is Italian. You know, if you kind of know one, you can kind of learn the other one. There's, you know, some different words and whatnot, different meanings, of course, but they're similar, the Latin root. So that's kind of the difference there. So it was a nice transition from single family to multifamily. And I think the evolution of investors as well often do go from single family houses and scale into, you know, maybe owning a 10 or 20 unit complex, or then getting into syndication where they're, you know, you have a sliver of fractional ownership and, you know, 150 plus, you know, 300 plus unit building.
I like that comparison to the languages thing. So we're talking Spanish right now. We're talking multifamily.
Yes.
Since you've joined Lone Star Capital, you have focused, it sounds like, predominantly on the capital side of the equation, raising capital. That mostly deals with relationship building. The only way to raise capital is to go out there and build relationships with people with capital. So tell us about your process that you've built for that. You know, that is the issue that most people run into when they want to get into bigger deals, is they run into the capital issue, which everybody runs into at some point. You know, you're doing deals with your own money. Now you want to take down a $10 million property, but you don't have $1 million to put down for the down payment, actually $2 million, $2.5 million. So you need to go out there and raise that capital. It all starts with the relationships. How do you do that?
Yeah, OPM, other people's money, right? So that's the phrase, OPM 24/7. So essentially, you know, the best time to raise capital and to, you know, get the equity lined up is well before you need their money. So there's a sales cycle of, hey, we meet today. You know, I'm not really looking to the dollar for you today, but hopefully in 5 years' time, you'll find our way into a deal, right? So we want to attract people into our systems and, you know, make sure that we have a nurturing process to facilitate our investors. So at meet conference, we'll meet them at various different places. You know, Rob and myself are creating, you know, hours of content, educational information. Rob has written 2 best-selling books in the niche space that have been, you know, very good sellers that have also attracted, you know, capital allocators, boutique capital raisers, you know, LPs alike. So everywhere in between. And then we have a really good nurturing and funneling process. We're always posting stuff on LinkedIn, YouTube, and then we're going to conferences, meeting people all over the place and just kind of always priming the pump, reaching out to our investors. At this point, we have hundreds of investors in our deals. So what we really want to focus on, and instead of now just spreading a really wide net and going a mile wide, an inch deep, we want to go a mile deep and an inch wide and really just double, triple down on the investment relationships that we have right now. Because the best referral, the best lead you could have is in fact a referral. So if you can get a warm lead from someone who's drinking your Kool-Aid, your social proof is there. And people want to do business with people who have had, you know, people in their network who have had success with that individual. So it's all kind of self-fulfilling and compounding. Once you can get to the point of people wanting to work with you and roll into your deals and they see the cash flow coming in, they see your systems, they see your reporting, they know you walk the walk and talk the talk and deliver upon your projections, your life just gets easier. So we're at the point right now, we're really scaling up our portfolio, you know, up to now $500 million of AUM, where we're getting a lot of repeat folks, referrals, and people that, you know, we reached out before that I thought we were too small, then now I want to have a conversation with us. So it's kind of funny. The more you do, the easier life gets.
Nice. Well, congratulations to you guys. It's awesome that you're starting to scale up. And that is why it is so important to have a success on that first deal, because, and I'm not talking a normal success, like a crazy success. So try to get a deal that you're going to get great, you know, IRR for your investors, because if you can get them a 30% IRR, something that they will never see outside of that first deal, they are going to go tell their other rich friends and they're going to be like, I got this crazy return with this guy. You should also invest in him. Obviously, you should always aim for a great IRR for your investors. But for that first one, just make sure that it is knocked out of the park, that they are extremely happy to have invested with you, because they will be your biggest salespeople going forward.
And I'll actually piggyback off that as well. Doing what you say and delivering upon it is super crucial as well. So if you say you're going to communicate, you know, reporting, whatever it may be, you know, over communicate, reach out to them, make people feel comfortable. That will also help. You know, I can't tell you how many times I hear horror stories of people actually had really great returns, but they had no idea where their money sat and how the deal was standing throughout the entire process, which is not settling for a lot of people. So I would actually really venture to say that I think more people would rather have a lower return, but great communication versus a higher return with not having a phone call or text being able to respond. Responded or any email being answered to. So just realize that there's more size than just, you know, the in the weeds property and asset management, but there's the investor servicing relationship side of the house that is uber crucial. And that really can either make or break if you have repeat or referral clients coming into your systems.
Yeah. And that can be very easily solved too. All you need to do is just, I mean, send out a monthly email and just say, you know, we're going to have a webinar on this date, this time. We're going to go over the current state of the deal and just go over all the details. And so everybody will know every month they can go and get all their questions answered, you know, second Monday of every month, and just hop into a quick 30-minute, one hour webinar to understand what's happening with their money. So long as people know that they have an avenue to communicate, they're going to be less worried about, you know, not hearing anything from you. You don't need to be texting them every 2 days to let them know where you're at. Just give them an option for them to actually, you know, see what's going on. So we are running down the clock, but you mentioned a buzzword that I love. You mentioned your funnel. I always like to hear how people's funnels work. You know, you start with the broad marketing that you do and then bring it down to the actual individual one-on-one relationship. What does your funnel look like? Take us through each stage of it.
Yeah, well, I guess do the back workings of it. I just have incredible teams that kind of pipe everything up, but we utilize ActiveCampaign. So, you know, we go through LinkedIn, we go through all these, you know, YouTube, you name it, every social media platform, that's where we are. So it'd be impossible to not find us if you Google my name or the co-founder, Rob Beardsley's. We're creating, you know, hours upon hours of content, as I alluded to earlier. So we're all over the place. And then we put our, you know, a link to our new investor form or learn more about us here, get on our email list. And then from there, you know, we're sending out, hey, are you interested in doing a 1031 exchange into our syndication? Are you looking for a deal in Dallas? Are you looking for X, Y, or Z? It's there. And then they'll email me back or they'll put a time in my calendar. So, you know, you get very squared away there. And then we're also utilizing Sales Navigator on LinkedIn, which is a really cool tool that'll basically mass reach out to people, add people on LinkedIn within your network to see if they're maybe interested in learning more about, you know, multifamily real estate, whatever your investment vehicle may or may not be. Obviously, you got to use certain wordage and language to keep everything compliant, of course. But those are some of the systems and tools that we're leveraging and implementing to, you know, create more LP relationships.
Yeah, I of all the social platforms, LinkedIn is by far my favorite. It's actually how I started this podcast during COVID. You know, I had done a bunch of in-person networking prior to COVID, and then COVID happened, and I was like, well, now I'm stuck inside, so might as well start a podcast. And to get people on the show, I just used LinkedIn. I went on LinkedIn, found people that were in real estate, messaged them, and got my first couple of guests. And since then, it's kind of snowballed. But I really like LinkedIn as a platform. I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but go LinkedIn if you guys don't use it.
It's truly, we're in the golden era and golden age, to your point there, on LinkedIn. I think Instagram's very busy and, you know, it's a little bit flashy and has the wrong message. I think LinkedIn, you can be just very modest and normal and not, you know, new money, scammy looking, and get really nice results. So I think it's the best marketplace for social media currently, and that may change. And you know, social media is always do evolve and change and whatnot. So utilize LinkedIn while we have it.
There you go. All right. I'm going to take that opportunity to move us on to the quick question round. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Starts with education. It could be any form, could be books, could be movies, could be whatever, YouTube shows. Just give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and then one for business or real estate.
So I think the best weekly podcast anyone should be listening to is the All In podcast. So that is the best show. It's more macroeconomics. It's really not real estate related. They do talk about it if there's anything topical there. But the All In podcast is for venture capital folks from the Silicon Valley talking shop with a little more in between, but it is incredible. One needs to be listening to that. It is the best podcast out there. Hands down, bar none. Weekly show, hour long, very easy to consume. And then the best book, in my opinion, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm probably not the first person to say this on the show or ever on the internet talking about real estate, but it is truly the most, you know, simple, you know, stick to the basics, keep it simple, stupid, KISS model. Read that book, read it once a year. If you have kids, give it to your kids, ingrain them and indoctrinate them into the logic and wisdom, and their life will be forever better.
Yeah, you're definitely not the first person to say Rich Dad Poor Dad on this podcast, but we actually, for a while, I was keeping track of the number of people who said that book because I used to ask for a book recommendation, and it was always Rich Dad Poor Dad. It was like 95% of the times it was Rich Dad Poor Dad, which is not bad. I mean, it just goes to show it is a great book when it comes to real estate. So if you're out there and you don't know, it's really, if you don't know why you should be in real estate, that will give you the answer. It's not going to tell you how to do real estate, but it will give you the why.
Well, also, you don't need to be in real estate per se. Just be invested in it. Be associated with it one way or another. Create the tsunami and tidal wave of cash flow coming in. Create that. Create a better life for yourself. You know, invest. Your future self will thank you.
All right. Next question is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Craig who was, I guess, in the womb thinking about real estate. Go back to him. Look him in the eye. Give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Even focus harder on relationships because it's who, not how. So your people and who you're around will determine where you go in life and how quickly you become successful. So the quicker you realize that you're the average of your five friends, and that, you know, you need to know the right people to get where you want to go, you're better for it. I think I've done a very good job of that, but you know, to reinforce that concept more, you know, you will be more successful if you hang around better people. It's really not rocket science.
And you're going to have a more fun time. Because the better people, the more engaged people you hang out with, the more engaged you become. So like that, moving us on to the next question. And this is about the US. It is a big place. There is a lot of opportunity out there. Give me the single metro you're most excited about investing in today.
I would say Dallas. I think Dallas, if you ask anyone right now, or if you ask 10, 20 people, pull them, hey, what do you think the safest market in the country is? I think half of them would say Dallas. And if you listed top three, you know, I think everyone would probably mention at least that in their top three, or they'd be being dishonest. So I think Dallas is something we want to do, but it's very difficult to make a deal pencil due to interest rates and cap rates right now and whatnot. So, but I would say generally speaking, Dallas is somewhere that we're looking to imprint more. We, you know, at Lone Star buy, you know, multifamily housing in Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio. And we're looking to broaden our portfolio and blueprint into the Dallas market.
There you go. Dallas is great. All right. Next question is about, lost my spot here. Where'd we go? There we go. Your strengths. It all, we're all gifted with a strength that we uniquely provide this world. So what is your Superman strength?
I would say my strength is my relationship building skills. You know, frankly, I'd like to think that, you know, if you're going to do business, let's say if it's me versus five people and you're going to choose someone you want to work with based on, you know, comfort and who you like most, I have to think that you'd want to choose us at Lone Star Capital. So I'd say relationship building strength would be number one for us and for myself.
And that leads us to the second to last question. This is about finding deals. It all starts with reaching out, getting in contact with the seller, in your case, with the investors. So what is your favorite way to generate leads and find new investors?
You know, I would say every way is my favorite way, but you know, I do think right now it's really rewarding because we also have podcasts and are on YouTube and are doing that weekly. So it's really fun creating something out there and then where people inbound into your systems and actually reach out to you and then invest with you. We actually had an LP investor invest $750,000 and $750K in our Houston 3 portfolio property that closed last year. So that was really special to have someone found us from YouTube to invest a sizable amount of money. That was pretty crazy. Enriching and enlightening. So I think that right now has to be my favorite form.
Cool. All right. That leads us to the very last question. This is for the listeners. I'm sure people want to reach out, get in contact with you. Where can they find you? And then what can they expect when they reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to find me, you can just email me at Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at lscre.com. If you want to see what we're going and cooking, go to our website, www.lscre.com. If you want to add me at LinkedIn, my first name, Craig McGrother, not hard to find. I should probably populate first because the great teams that we have are posting on my account every single day. So it's a well-oiled machine here at Lone Star Capital. What to expect? Someone who reach out, give you great service and, you know, put you in the right direction. I think the biggest thing for myself and the firm too, that I'm really proud of is we're not looking to take everyone's dollars. We got to make sure that, you know, I understand your why, what you're looking for, because we have abundance, which is really great. We have kind of more equity than deals at the moment. So I got to make sure that you're the right fit and it's going to be mutually beneficial for both of us. So you can expect honesty and me giving you, you know, maybe not the answer you want to hear, but the answer that's probably best for you and best for us.
Perfect. That is Craig at lscre.com. If y'all want to reach out, I will put that in the show notes. All you got to do is just click the little more in the description. It'll pull down that full description and in there you can find Craig's email. All right, man, that wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thank you.
Cool. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions, reach out to me, Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. If you want to support the show, just give us a like, subscribe, share. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right. Before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.